I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. I encountered an odd problem when I was putting together this week's show. I wanted to play an episode of Art Linkletter's House Party for you, which should be no problem because the show was on the air for 24 years, mostly 5 days a week. That's well over 5,000 radio programs, and I'd wager that everyone who grew up in the 1940s and 1950s listened to the House Party. But guess what? It's virtually impossible to find any recordings of the show anywhere. I started with a search of the Internet Archive, kind of like the Smithsonian Institute of the Internet, which warehouses, among many other things, thousands of old-time radio shows, many of them ultra-rare. But not a single episode of House Party. I tried other more obscure sources, and still no luck. So I posted a plea on the Old Time Radio Digest, which is read by most every serious old-time radio fan in the universe, and finally I got some leads. Somebody posted a note that let me find a recording of the final episode of the show from 1967. That would have done the trick, but I wanted a representative episode, not the grand finale. And finally I got one. An absolute gem, and a total fluke that the show was available at all. An old-time Radio Digest subscriber named Jim Hilliker sent me a link to the private website of a lady who grew up in Detroit and now lives in Florida. Her grandfather had been an audio engineer at the radio station in Detroit that carried Art Linkletter's House Party. He had recorded many of the shows that his station had broadcast, and his granddaughter found those recordings among his possessions after he died. One of them was a phonograph record he had recorded of a 1947 episode of House Party. The record has many clicks and scratches, but folks, it's all we've got. So, from May 21, 1947, here's Art Linkletter's House Party.
You're just in time for the house party. And a van of surprises and a million laughs, Art Linkletter. Well, here it is, the middle of the week, and the house party rolls along with its 30 minutes of informal fun, games, gags, gimmicks, and gifts, and guests from all over the United States, including five kiddies from a nearby public school, some ladies who volunteered to tell us how they first met the man they married, a famous guest or two, and right now we're going searching among our house party guests in the audience for people who have unusual names, because each day this week we're awarding a nice prize to the person the judges award the most unusual name title to, and on Friday the grand prize winner of the week gets a certificate for a General Electric Ringer washer. Nice prize, huh? Well, let's see some unusual names. If you'd like to volunteer, just put up your hand. Hello, Mrs.
Daisy May.
Daisy May. Right out of a comic strip, aren't you?
Right out.
Is that your maiden name or your married name?
My maiden name.
You get kidded about it a lot?
Oh, quite a lot.
County clerk
of Stanton County, Nebraska.
And everybody who comes up, what do you do for them? What does the county clerk do?
Oh, my, they do a lot of things.
You give marriage license certificates?
Oh, yes.
And you're not married?
No.
Oh, and you get one cut right, too. What's your name, little girl?
Haycock.
Mrs. Haycock, uh-huh. Miss, how old are you?
12.
You didn't look married to me. Can't tell this day and age. We had the youngest great-grandmother a week ago was 53. She was married when she was 12. Hello, Mrs.
Katie Sastiel.
Who?
Katie Sastiel, and my maiden name is Moron. M-O-R-O-N.
You were a moron, and now you... Marriage raised you, didn't it, Lord? What sort of a name is De Sastiel?
It's a Spanish name.
Uh-huh. What sort of a name is Moron?
Moron is Spanish, too.
What does it mean in Spanish?
Moron means a nice name for us, but when I came to America, it meant crazy.
Believe me, it makes crazy, all right. Well, is there a translation of Moron in Spanish? What is it mean?
We
tree?
Come from, no, it, we were descendants of the Spanish people in Spain.
Oh,
and
that's
my
a good...
father used to tell us that we descended from the Morons. In that place.
You have a long line of morons.
Right.
I'm a little nuts myself, but there's Miss Moron. You got that, judges? That's an unusual... Hello, Mrs.
Cyphers is my name.
Cyphers, that's a lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros.
But do you have any little?
I have 2 6-foot zeros.
Well, those are pretty big zeros. Hello, Miss...
Dorothy Hooten.
Hooten. Hooten holler. Hello, Mrs.
Waldrop.
Waldrop. How does that spell?
W-A-L-D-R-O-P.
Well, that sounds like the end of an earthquake story. And then we have Mrs.
Rainey.
Who?
Rainey.
Mrs. Rainey. From where, Florida?
Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, uh-huh. Springfield, Illinois. Hello, Mrs.
Mrs. Ona Brown Bear.
Did I hear right? Mrs. Ona Brown Bear.
That's right.
What's he doing today? How do you spell Ona?
O-N-A.
And how do you spell Brown Bear? Just the way it sounds?
Brown is my maiden name, B-R-O-W-N.
And your married Bear, name is Bear.
B-A-R-E.
Uh-huh. You have any little cubs?
Not yet.
Ona Brown Bear. You got that? There's an unusual name.
And
what do you have?
My name is Carrie Organ, that maiden name, and my marriage name is Chitty, C-H-I-T-T-Y.
Organ,
uh-huh. O-R-G-A-N.
And you're from a church somewhere.
Yeah, I guess so.
Bent A Trail.
A what?
Bent A Trail.
What's going on back there? A lady just fainted. Your sister? No, I don't. I'm just kidding. She didn't faint, but she's trying to. Hello, Mrs.
Mrs. Okanovsky.
Mrs. who?
Okanovsky.
What does that mean?
A name.
It's all it is, just a name. What kind of a name?
It's a long name, a Polish name.
Polish name, Okanovsky. There's the bell, and that ends the time for us to say hello to people with unusual names. We still have a whole bunch of them, but from those that we heard today, Mr. Slattery, which have the judges awarded our accolade to?
Well, our runner-up today, the judges decided to be Carrie Organ.
Uh-huh. And the runner-up gets from the house party a complete bird's-eye turkey dinner for Memorial Day with frosted vegetables and peaches for dessert, all sent out to the home, and believe me, that's a wonderful dinner. And the winner?
Ona Brown Bear.
That had to win. Ona Brown Bear. Where are you, Brownie? There she is. The house party wants you to have a lovely 17 jewel Gruen precision wristwatch. And there it is. And now here's your announcer.
This is the time when Art Linkletter looks over some of the out-of-town names in our house party register.
Where are our out-of-towners? Let's say a quick hello to Mrs.
Gertrude Pfeiffer, Gloversville, New York.
Gloversville is near New York City, I suppose.
Near Albany.
Near Albany. Mrs.?
Mrs. W. L. Stein, Miami, Florida.
Uh-huh. And then we have a lady with the fluffiest pink hat I have seen in 25 years. Miss?
Mrs. Esther Clark.
From?
Peoria, Illinois.
And
This is Cynthia Sorensen, Peoria, Illinois.
Uh-huh. And Mrs.
Jean Wiedmer, Dubuque, Iowa.
By the way, where did you get that hat?
Hollywood.
In Hollywood. That is some hat. Mrs.
Miss John Humphrey, Shadron, Nebraska.
Shadron, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebraska, okay? Wednesday afternoon at the house party is romance time. When we go looking for people who have unusual and interesting stories of how they first met the man they finally married. This, of course, encourages young people everywhere to go out in search of love and adventure, we hope, because you never know when you're going to set eyes on the person you're going to finally marry. And we have as our judge today a young lady who is quite a romantic figure herself. She's in pictures here in Hollywood on the screen, and she's just been chosen as a special guest of honor nationally. She is called Miss World Trade for 1947. Miss Helen Chapman, our judge for the day. Bring her on with a nice welcome. Helen? Hello, Helen.
Hello.
This is one of those times when MCs yearn for television so that our listeners could see what a beautiful girl Miss Chapman is. About 20, 19?
Well, yes, that's about that. 21.
Blonde, 5 feet, 2.5, 3?
4.
Weigh about 118?
Uh-huh, no, 12.
And born in
Chicago.
I understand that there's the Chicago folks coming in today. I understand this is the second year that you've been called Miss World Trade.
Yes, that's right, and I feel deeply honored you've been chosen again.
I should tell our listeners that Miss Chapman is dressed in a smart Navy uniform of white with gold braid over her shoulder and the four stripes of a captain. Are you really a captain?
Well, no, I'm not. This uniform really represents the America's maritime commerce.
On which our world trade depends.
That's right.
Well, I think that's a fine thing for the folks of the nation to honor because world trade is so important to all of us today. I was in the Merchant Marine myself once, Helen.
Oh, were you?
I was a sailor, and I looked all over for a captain like you. Helen, you're a single girl yourself.
That's right.
And so, of course, you are least interested in future romance.
Oh, I certainly am.
And so you listen to our ladies chosen from the house party, how they got married, and perhaps it'll be an inspiration.
Well, it certainly will be.
You be the judge then, Miss Chapman,
Thank you.
Bring up our first guest, who is Mrs.?
Mrs. William Bedford.
Where are you from, Mrs. Bedford?
I'm from Eureka, California.
Are you scared?
No.
You sound scared. Maybe it's my echo. How'd you meet Mr. Bedford?
In a show.
What kind of a show?
Just a regular show.
Moving picture show. Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
A sitting.
Well, that's a good thing to be doing, I suppose, watching
also
the show.
Also watching the picture,
so what
yes.
happened?
Well, he moved up about, it was right next to me almost, lacking one seat. So I went up in the back and he came down, he sat right next to me.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Interested?
Yeah, well, fairly. Right ahead. Then what happened? How did he say hello for the first time?
He didn't.
Who did?
Nobody.
You mean you got married and you've never said anything yet?
Oh,
I mean, who
yeah.
said something first? What happened?
Gee, that wouldn't have been romantic. We had a kiss first.
You mean you kissed before you said hello?
That's right.
How'd that happen? Who kissed who?
Now that's a question, Doc.
I mean, did you hold hands first or what?
Yes, we did hold hands.
Across the empty seat?
No, I said he went up and he came back down again, sat next to me.
How much longer after this motion picture occurred did you two get married?
4 months and a week.
Well, I think that's very good. Thank you very much, Mrs. Bedford. And how old are you, by the way? 20 and 32. Okay, and our next guest coming up to the microphone happens to be Mrs.?
Mrs. George Moore.
Hello, Mrs. Moore. You're from
Hello.
The South, I'll bet,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, from Tennessee.
Which part?
Charleston, near Chattanooga.
Oh, that's a pretty hat you have on. Is that a
Thank
southern
you.
Hat?
That came from Springfield, Missouri.
Uh-huh. And how did you meet your husband?
Well, I was walking down Market Street in Chattanooga one day, and I started to cross the street, and a car came around the corner real fast, and I jumped back right into a manhole.
Into a manhole?
And there was a man in it, and I fell
well,
off.
Well, that's... Oh, no, this is a silent call. I've been dreaming about something like this for years.
He worked for the State Highway Department. He was down in there measuring something, and I fell right in on him, so he helped me get out, and we got to talking and found out where he was from, about 15 miles from where I was, so he said he thought I needed somebody to kind of take me around and show me where to walk.
So you got married, you've been living happily in a manhole.
But now he says I'm still as awkward as ever. I'm always running into the fridge there or something.
Oh. And you really met him, you fell
yes,
in a manhole.
Really did.
There is one that really takes the cake. Give her a nice hand. Thank you very much. Hello, Mrs.
LaRue Berman.
Where are you from, Miss Berman?
Dallas, Texas.
And how'd you meet your husband?
He was playing night baseball. He was playing catchers. And he bent down to catch a ball and the seat of his pants split out.
Is that how you... then what?
Well,
where were...
I was sitting up in the grandstand and he came up there to ask my girlfriend if she had a pen. And
well,
we
did he know your girlfriend or did
yes,
he just look
he
around anyway?
No, he was a friend of my girlfriend's.
Yeah.
And we didn't have one, and so he had to spend the rest of the ball game sitting in the grandstand.
With you?
Uh-huh.
Well, now, gotta watch my questions here. A lot of you folks are way ahead of me. Now, had you never seen him before in your life?
No, that's the first time.
Was he
time.
A boyfriend of your girlfriend?
No, he was
just
a friend of my girlfriend's brother.
I see. And he finally got his pants mended. And
well,
you...
he walked home with us, and the next time I saw him, they were.
Yeah. How much longer after this did you get married?
Oh, about 5 years.
Well, thank you. There is a good story, too. Very interesting story. And our final guest among the four who were pre-selected by our judges is Mrs.?
Virginia Collins.
From?
Ohio.
And now living out here?
Yes.
How'd you meet your husband, Mrs. Collins?
I met him on a vacation trip to Honolulu on the boat. My fiancé took me down to the boat, and on the way over, I found that I was chosen to confer with the orchestra leader on the program, the ship's uh-huh. program. So I did, and found out during the program, it was our engagement was announced. Of course, we were both quite surprised. We didn't know we were engaged. We found out it was a gag.
Well, the orchestra leader had an idea?
No, the orchestra leader didn't,
he didn't
know,
it
either.
Know it either.
It was a gag of the other orchestra members.
See. Uh-huh.
They'd gotten the idea up. So after it had been announced, we thought, well, we might as well go through with it. So 2 months later, we decided we'd make the thing true.
Well, what happened to the fiancé who saw you down to the boat?
Well, he was there to meet me when I got off, but it was a little late.
Did he? And you were already married?
No, but I was really engaged then.
How did you tell him?
Well, I just sort of told him I'd met someone on the boat, and it was one of those things.
Is your husband still an orchestra leader?
Yes, he is.
Well, I think there was a gag that turned out very well. Congratulations, and thanks for telling us about it. And now
here is our Miss World Trade for 1947, Helen Chapman. What do you think, Helen?
Well, I think they were all very interesting, but I think Mrs. George Moore, who fell in the manhole, I think is quite exciting.
Well, Helen, I think that's a very good choice. And when you get your ship, be sure to let me know when you're getting ready to sign on crew members, will you?
Aye, sir.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, Helen. And now for all of our three guests who told us stories and who were runners-up, the house party has for each of them a little memento of today's program in the form of a lovely orchid corsage from Hollywood's famous Parisian florist. We give away the corsages, no kisses, girls. And the house party has for our winner the lady who fell down the manhole and is from the Tennessee, isn't she?
Chattanooga,
Tennessee. The house party has for you a beautiful lamp from the Admiral Lamp Manufacturing Company. We'll have it sent to your home, wherever you are. Goodbye and good luck to you. And now, here is your announcer.
It's time now for our daily short contest.
Let's pick out somebody who'd like to make some money real fast. Anybody here need money? Here's a lady who... Ooh, look at a hand. Hello, Mrs.
Alice Cook.
From?
Burbank.
What do you do, Alice? Housewife?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to make a lot of money here. I'll give you a dollar for every word that you tell me in the next 20 seconds that starts with the letter C. Ready? Go.
Cook, candy, cat, cracker.
Four.
Cow.
Five. Gee, she's run out of them already. Cheese. That starts with CH.
Cheese, chocolate.
The chocolate, that's only one there. Seven. Seven. Time's going.
Chowder.
Right. Chowder. Eight. Eight. Oh, you missed Chichi Castanango. But that gave her $8 in 20 seconds, and that's the most money you've ever made in 20 seconds, I'll bet. And there's your money, and time's up for our daily short contest.
And now, continuing the house party, here's your host, Art Linkletter.
Go with some more guests and some kiddies who are going to be interviewed in just a minute. They're all sitting up here wiggling their legs back and forth waiting to be to say hello. And a very special guest of honor, first of all, that I know many of you folks at home will remember his work in pictures if you've seen any of the Blondie pictures, because the dog Daisy is one of the results of his marvelous work. He's one of the veteran trainers of dogs on the screen. He's been at it for 27 years in Hollywood, and before that, for 6 years, he was an actor before he found out the dogs could do a better job than he could, and he turned into a trainer, Mr. Rennie Renfro, and here he comes. Hello, Rennie.
How are you?
Well, I see you brought Daisy along with you.
Yeah, he's always with me.
What kind of a dog is Daisy?
Oh, he's just a cross.
Crosses make the best dogs for training?
Yeah, you know, a cross between Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
Oh. Rennie, all of us know about the wonderful work you've done with dogs, but I think we have a little scoop here, even on Luella Parsons and the rest of them who follow those in the moving picture business. Nobody has yet found out that you and Mrs. Renfro have recently adopted a baby. Is that right?
That's right.
How long ago?
Well, he's 2 months old. I had him since he's 4 days old.
Well, isn't that wonderful? And it's a little boy, huh?
Little boy.
Well, you're a man of about 55 yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to raise him up in the country so we won't make a monkey out of him.
Uh-huh. You think the country life is better for kids?
Yeah, that's
you know what
right.
You've just made my four kids, don't you? However, we'll go right on. Do you find after 2 months, Rennie, that it's easier to train the dogs for the screen or for the little children?
Well, I don't know. So far, I'd rather train a dog.
It'll get easier, believe me. The first 2 months are among the hardest. Rennie, let's go down in the audience and ask people what questions they'd like to know about dogs. Everybody likes to have a dog for a pet, but they like to find out how they can do best things with them. Would you mind standing up, this lady right here? You're Mrs.
Barton.
From?
Southgate, California.
What kind of a dog do you have?
I have a toy collie, which is about 6 months old, and I'd like to know when and how to start training it. It tears things up in the backyard quite badly.
It's a collie, pedigreed collie?
It's toy collie,
uh-huh.
No. As he said, it's a cross.
Uh-huh. What do you think about the time to train a collie?
Well, it's a good time to start on him now.
At the age of 6 months?
Yeah, that's a good time.
How would
time.
You prevent him from tearing up things, Rennie?
Well, you have to sometimes tie something in their mouth. They tear up all your shoes and everything, let him carry it around for about 2 hours, and he won't do that anymore.
In other words, tie a shoe right in his mouth.
Yeah, let him carry it around.
You have a spare shoe you could use?
I do.
Uh-huh. Is there any special dog that does more tearing up than other dogs, Rennie?
Yeah, I think one of Daisy's dogs did.
Oh.
A couple of houses before I broke him with it.
We had a Dalmatian we had to give away because we never could get her to stop tearing up things. Let's ask this lady. Would you mind standing up? You are Mrs.
I'm Mrs. Belle Gimp, and I have a Cocker Spaniel, a very highly pedigreed dog, all champions behind her. But she insists on digging holes in the garden, especially if there's stegum moss or peat moss in the garden beds.
Well, how would you prevent her from digging holes, Rennie?
Well, you take some of those holes and put some rocks in there, and when he digs down and hits those rocks a few times, then he'll go to another place and do the same thing over, and then he'll quit digging at all.
You'll go to another fresh place?
Yeah, another fresh
place.
And then
you put whole rocks in that one, too?
Each time he digs it, sometimes they'll stop in 2 times, sometimes 22 times, but they'll stop.
You just keep following the dog around with a bunch of rocks, and if she doesn't stop him, ladies and gentlemen, at least at the end she'll have a rock garden, which is a very nice thing.
Mrs. John W. Conner, Springfield, Missouri.
Well, what kind of a dog do you have, Mrs.
Well, I don't know how you get rid of all the neighbor's dogs.
Oh, there's a tough question. Are you really bothered by dogs?
Yes, quite a bit.
Well, how do you keep them off your property? Is there any special
way? Build a fence around it.
There you are. What do you do if you can't build a fence? Is there anything you can use at all to make dogs dislike your neighborhood?
No, that isn't a good idea. Everybody should like dogs.
There you are. Uh-huh. And our next guest, would you come down the aisle a little bit to me? We've got to get some more cable on this, Mr. Lindquist. Hello, Mrs.
Alina Kelly.
From?
Hermosa Beach.
And what kind of a dog do you have?
I have a little fox terrier. And what shall I do when she doesn't eat? She'll go sometimes 2 or 3 days.
Without eating anything?
Uh-huh, without eating anything. She's very, very particular.
How old is the dog?
She's 5 years old.
5 years old? Well, I don't feed her for 4 days, and then I think she'll eat regular every day.
You mean after she won't eat for a while, just press it a little bit,
yeah,
huh?
That's it. Press it on a little bit. The dog won't eat only when they want to anyway. Sometimes they don't need very much food, and if you overfeed them, well, they get sick.
She's not overfed. She just, she seems to be well, though.
Just don't worry about it. What do you feed her?
Oh, just meat and raw vegetables.
Well, raw vegetables, there's your trouble. A dog could, you better take a dog down and have him x-rayed because I fed raw vegetables for quite a while when I first started in the dog business, and a few of them started dying. We had them cut open, and the vegetables have been in there for months and months, so it kills the dog.
Don't feed it. Yes. You've been feeding him raw vegetables? Run home immediately. Okay. Well, Rennie, we want to thank you very much for coming over and saying hello to our guests. We want to wish you the best of luck in your new ranch up in the northern part of California and to Daisy and all your wonderful work in the screen.
Thank you very much. Glad to be
here. Goodbye, Rennie Renzo. And now here is your announcer.
And now Art Linkletter will say hello again to our out-of-town guests.
Well, in addition to out-of-town guests, we'd like to see if we had some unusual names I missed on when I was over on the other side of the house. I saw some hands up over here. You're Mrs.
Bella Barton.
Bella who?
Bella Barton.
Well, what's unusual about that, Bella?
Oh, I don't think you hear the name Bella very often.
Well, maybe you don't at that. How do you spell that?
V, like in Virginia. V-E-L-L-A.
That's family name, probably.
No.
Just picked up somewhere. What's your name, Mrs. Who?
Persis Burke.
Persis, P-E-R-S-E-U-S?
P-E-R-S-I-S.
That's a name out of a...
Persian name.
Persian name, uh-huh, right out of the Bible, I remember it. Hello, Mr. Who?
Mr. Shad Meese, Hagerstown, Maryland.
Nice to have you here with us. And there goes the school bell, and here comes our favorite spot at the house party every afternoon, the time when I get a chance to talk to 5 youngsters. And teacher, where are the kiddies from today?
Well, our Tanner limousine called at Nora Sturry School in West Los Angeles for our children, Art. And there are 5 children between the ages of 6 and 8.
And Miss Barnett, you brought them here and they had lunch. They had a tour of the studios. And I had a few reports on what you talked about at lunch, and I may ask you some questions about them, huh? Hello.
What's your name?
My name's Lila Jean Parsons.
Well, Lila, you're about 8, aren't you?
Yes.
A very pretty little girl with blue eyes and curly hair and a pretty bow and a stub nose. I bet you'd like to grow up to be a movie star, huh?
No, that's not the question.
That's out of the question. Well, maybe it's a good idea. It should be out of the question. Why wouldn't you want to be a movie star? So many little girls tell me they want to be.
Well, there's one reason why I don't like, and there's other reason why I don't like it. One reason is why I don't like it is because there's too many autographs. I have signed too many autographs.
Yeah, they're always pestering you for autographs. That's terrible.
And it's not a simple life.
For a little girl of 8, you show a lot more sense than some of the girls I see around Hollywood, Lila. It is not a simple life. You would like to have a simple life, huh?
Yes.
Well, what is your idea of a simple life? What would you do to have a simple life?
Well, sometimes I think about being a housewife, or I could be a hostess on an airplane.
That's a simple life. I don't know. You're going to have a tough time finding a simple life, even as a housewife, Lila. You know there are lots of complications as a housewife?
Yes, you have to do a lot of work around the house.
You're darn right you do, Lila. Now our next young fellow is Mr.
Carl Lee Adams.
Well, Mr. Adams, you're a fine-looking boy, too, with a sport coat and an unusual beanie. You notice this little beanie he has in his hands here? Where does that come from, Lee?
Switzerland.
What's the history of it? How did you get here?
My daddy brought it from Switzerland. My grandfather used it for singing when he sings.
He sang through his hat?
No.
What did he
put on his head and sang?
Oh, and do you know what that little word that's crocheted on the front means?
No.
S-A-C-H-S-E-L-N. Does anybody know? What's that?
The name of a town.
Oh, are you his mother?
Yes.
Oh, it's Saxone. That's the name of town in Switzerland. You know how they sing in Switzerland, don't they, Lee?
No.
They yodel, don't they?
Yes.
Anybody here know what yodeling is? Put up your hand. Yodeling? Armin, you know what yodeling is?
No.
That's information, anyway. Anybody know what yodeling is? Huh? Do you know Lila Parsons?
Yes, I think it's like cowboys do on the radio.
Sort of, yes. What's cowboys? Lee?
It's like a rooster.
Like a rooster. Well, it does sound a little like that. What are you going to be when you grow up, Lee?
I'm going to be a midget racer driver.
A midget driver. Well, you're kind of tiny right now. And your name, little girl?
Billie Jean Minyard.
Minyard. Uh-huh. What kind of a name is that? Do you know Billie Jean? Where were you born?
California.
Oh, yes. That explains everything. You're 7 years of age, Billie Jean.
Yes, seven and a half.
Any brothers and sisters?
A sister 2 years old.
Uh-huh. I bet you're pretty good friends, aren't you?
No, we fight.
How can you fight a girl who's only 2 years old, Billie Jean?
She's strong.
Wait till she grows up. Billie Jean, do you have any hobbies? Do you collect anything?
No.
Uh-huh. Do you practice any kind of music instrument or anything?
Yes.
What?
Violin.
Oh, you play a violin. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A piano player.
Her mother here? I want to hear about this. Huh? She isn't here. What's your name, young fella?
Armin.
Armin what?
Armin Douglas Sampson.
Uh-huh. You're only 6.
Yep.
You're the youngest fella here, aren't you?
Yes.
Why?
Because I was born after them.
Aren't you the boy who was was talking about the collecting rattlesnakes?
Yeah.
You collect rattlesnakes? How many do you have?
I get them out of a hole at my house and I always collect them because I like them.
Well, don't the rattlesnakes bite you?
Yes.
Does it hurt you?
No.
A boy with an imagination. Oh, there's nothing like having a few good rattlesnakes around the house. But I would advise all the young people listening in not to try it because Armin's a special boy. Most rattlesnakes hurt people, don't they?
Yeah.
You're extra, though, huh?
Yes.
Yep. What's your name?
Marjorie Shoemaker.
And how old are you, Marjorie?
Eight.
Mm-hmm. What do you like to do best, Marjorie?
Jump the rope.
Uh-huh. Aren't you the girl who tells stories and writes stories all the time?
Yes.
Well, fine. We'd love to have people with imagination on the show. Could you start a little story for us? Just like
no.
You? Oh, come on. Try one out. You know how all stories start, don't you?
Yeah.
How do they start?
Once upon a time.
Great start. Then what happened? Once upon a time, there was what?
Oh, I don't want to tell no story.
Come on. Once upon a time, there was a little boy and a little girl walking down the road, and they looked in the forest, and what'd they see? Quick, Marjorie. All she could do was laugh. She knows the end of the story, probably, and it's funnier than the one I had in mind. Well, kids, it's been fun meeting you and talking to you, as always, on this part of the show. We're going to have a recording made, which will be presented to you so you can hear yourselves talk, and we want you to take back to your school with you a 1947 General Electric radio. Like the house party, tell your neighbors, kids.
There's been a lot of jokes about the housing shortage, a lot of funny pictures and cartoons, but the guy without a home doesn't think they're very funny. An ex-serviceman living with his wife and kid in a dingy room doesn't laugh at the gags, and... well, you wouldn't either if you were in the same position. Until the government can build adequate homes for these men, it's up to you to do what you can to help find accommodations for them. If there isn't room in your own home, an attic, or any extra space which might be remodeled, then be sure you watch your community and report any available space to the Veterans Housing Center. By doing that, the servicemen and their families get the first chance at a home.
Now, this is Art Linkletter saying goodbye until Thursday afternoon, when once again at the same hour, we'll be bringing you the house party. Goodbye now.
Our party is a John Goodell production. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From May 21, 1947, Art Linkletter's house party. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you just want to talk about old-time radio, drop me a line at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info, I-N-F-O. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.